David Archer is a former quarterback in the NFL, World League, and Canadian Football League. He's the current analyst for the Atlanta Falcons radio network. David, it's Paul Allen. Thank you very much for joining the radio show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Paul. Good to be with you, man.
Down memory lane we go. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Mid-December 1985, Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium. One of your early career wins came against the Minnesota Vikings. It was 14-13. You threw a TD pass to Charlie Brown. Do you remember that game?
I do remember that game. It was a big part of why we started 4-0 in 86. We were able to win against the Vikings and then won the following weekend in New Orleans. And it kind of propelled us into the offseason. We were a young team, and that was my first opportunity the back half of that season to play. And I made a lot of mistakes, if I remember correctly, but we came out of the box blowing and going in 86, started 4-0 and got injured about halfway through the year, and then the season kind of fell apart for us. But that win over Minnesota was a catalyst to what we were able to do in the offseason and certainly what we did early in the season in 86.
David, in that game, you beat Hall of Fame coach Bud Grant. That's something to tell your grandkids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always admired Coach Grant's teams and how well they played and how they were always in the mix. And one of those teams that, you know, you often think about teams that have the ability to flip the switch. It seemed like that Minnesota team had the ability to do that whenever they wanted to play at a high level and put themselves in the postseason.
In the 2019 draft, Mr. David Archer, the Minnesota Vikings select 18th. So we are getting updates from, you know, teams who pick kind of around where the Vikings pick, and Atlanta is the team du jour today. First, what was most significant about Atlanta's non-playoff season last year?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that came out of it, Paul, was the fact that Atlanta slid backwards on defense. They'd made such great strides in 17, climbed into the top 10 defensively. In fact, it was the first top 10 rated defense they'd had since Matt Ryan had been the quarterback here, and that was a decade of football. But they were in ninth overall defensively, and more importantly, they were really good on third down, middle of the pack third down, but they were able to get people off the field, and they were good in the red zone. They were the number eight scoring defense in the league. All that went away this last year, Paul, and with injuries, certainly Deion Jones's injury in the middle, Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen, both safeties out. Grady Jarrett missed three or four games in the middle. So the middle of the defense was gutted, and subsequently they did not play at the high level. Now, the offense did not backstep, and by any stretch, Matt Ryan had an outstanding year, and they had a good year offensively and got back to where they were supposed to be, like they were in 16, where they were scoring points and putting people in tough situations to defend, but they just could not defend very well, and it ultimately got them.
David, whether it's you, your talented partner Wes Durham, who I've known for years, the fan base, just overall, does blowing that 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl still sting?
There's no question. You never get over that. I would imagine that you ask Bud Grant about the losses in the Super Bowl. Those are ones you just can't get over. And there's no question. We think back at I don't know how many times it's brought up, whether it's by a fan or somebody tongue-in-cheek kind of jab at you a little bit. But that's a game where you look at it and you think with about 9 minutes to go or so, you got a chance to win it. And certainly in that final drive where Atlanta had a chance to potentially run the football, kick a field goal, and really seal New England's fate, didn't get it done. So, yeah, I can remember every nook and cranny of the game, every little mistake we made, as I'm sure you can as you look back on what's happened with the Vikings.
So with the current Falcons up to the draft, offseason, and everything, Jake Matthews, left tackle, James Carpenter from the Jets now in the mix, Alex Mack, I would imagine those are the only for sure starters on the offensive line into next season, right?
Well, it certainly looks that way. Now, Tyson Brella, who Atlanta picked up in a trade from Denver, a high draft pick for Denver, just didn't seem to work out there for him. He has come in, and he played well in the back part of the season. I would look for him to start at right tackle. They also signed Jamon Brown, another big guard. So they've got two big guards they've signed. Atlanta getting a little bit bigger along the offensive line, been a little bit leaner and quicker and maybe more agile to get to the perimeter running the football, but Atlanta could not convert on third and short, fourth and short at any high level of expertise. So I think they went big up front to try to secure some of those first downs, keep the team on the field.
So it sounds to me and us at 14 or 45, probably don't need an offensive lineman, right?
Well, I think there could be an offensive lineman come off the board in the second round.
Come on.
I think the first round, Atlanta's looking to try to bolster their defense, and namely probably interior of the defense. This is a good draft, as you know, Paul, for interior defensive linemen. There's a couple down here that are in our area. We've had a pension for drafting kids out of Clemson. I would not be surprised to see Dexter Lawrence or Christian Wilkins in the offing for Atlanta. Maybe even, some of the other players that are in that interior part. But certainly defensive line looks to be the focal point in the first round.
Well, Dan Quinn is an elite defensive mind, and the draft is, like you said, full of defensive talent. So probably means he goes defense at 14 and 45, or do you think just 14 for defense?
No, he could go both, and that's, we've been kind of defense oriented in the draft over the past few years since Dan's been here. But certainly him taking over the defensive play calls, and I'm sure you've talked about that, he has assumed the responsibilities of a defensive play caller again, like he did at the end of the 2016 season, right, which helped Atlanta go to the Super Bowl. So the onus is on him now. No more excuses. He's going to be calling the shots, so I'm sure he wants his people that he can get things done on the defensive side of the ball.
David Archer, former quarterback in the NFL, World League, and Canadian Football League, current analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, helping us snoop, deep dive, on the Atlanta Falcons with the draft a month and change away. David, you are very familiar with ACC football. Any thoughts on North Carolina State center Garrett Bradbury?
Love him. I think he's a versatile guy. He's very similar to a guy, Paul, that I know you know about in I think Joe Tooney, the guy that went to New England, played essentially five years. He was injured 1 year, so he got a redshirt year at North Carolina State. But a guy that can play all the way across the board. And it's not one of these, jack of all trades, master of none. This guy can run. He's physical. But he can play from the tackle spot all the way to the interior. I think he equates more in the NFL to the interior three spots, and he can play all three spots in the interior. But if you need an emergency tackle, Garrett can slide out there as well.
What about Boston College guard Chris Lindstrom?
Another guy that's extremely strong at the point of attack. That's a team in Boston College who want to run the football with their big back, A.J. Dillon. Steve Adazio fancies himself as one of those physical, get-after-you-style coaches, and that's the way his teams play in Chestnut Hill. And certainly Lindstrom fits the bill. He's a guy that will come off and mash you in the run game, and I thought he was very solid in the interior with his pass protection, but a guy that will get after you physically.
But with Bradbury or Lindstrom and the Falcons at 14, honestly, you'd be surprised if the Falcons took one of those guys at 14, right?
I would. I think another guy that might be in the mix when you start talking about offensive linemen, if Atlanta looked offensive lineman, would be the kid Cody Ford, the kid out of Oklahoma, who is they've talked to potentially. I know he's kind of been prognosticated as a first-round pick or maybe early second-round pick, but he's a kid that's a big-bodied guy that can really get after you in the run game, as well as great protection for Kyler Murray this last year.
Falcons offensive lineman Brandon Fusco, David, is a good friend of mine. Does he have a chance to start at right guard next season?
Absolutely. I think Fusco is really starting to round into form. He and Alex Mack are two veteran players. Alex has been an outstanding center. Those two are starting to develop a rapport. And one of the things that I think gets overlooked is the rapport of your offensive line, kind of being able to finish the other person's sentences or, in fact, make the step before he knows where the other guy's going. And I think some of those things are starting to come together for Fusco and Mack when Brandon went down. So they're expecting him to come back and be in the mix to be the starter at right guard.
What about Atlanta at 14 pondering Iowa tight end T.J. Hockenson?
Yeah, I don't think they go tight end. Obviously, the emergence of Austin Hooper last year because of some guys not being able to play. He ultimately was a Pro Bowler a year ago, had an outstanding season after really a kind of a lackluster sophomore year, if you will, in 2017. Last year had a really solid year for him. I think they're looking more along the lines of some backup tight end, so I don't think they'll burn a number one pick on a guy that's going to be highly sought after tight end like Hockenson.
David, you're an elite football mind. Thank you very much for joining us this March Wednesday. Enjoy the offseason, and we'll catch up soon, okay?
Thanks, Paul. Always great to talk to you. Good.
David Archer, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Are we 2 for 2 or 1.5 for 2 or 1 for 2 with the savvy mid-morning Snoopathon?
I think so far we might be, I mean, it's kind of one and a half or two.
Yeah, I think we're one or one and a half for two. I think today was an absolute win.
Absolute W.
Absolute win at 14.
By 10 miles.
Yes.
So the Falcons, we know, are not an issue. And despite having Tack McKinley, I think they re-upped or will be re-upping Grady Jarrett.
Yep.
They did. They might add to the defense again.
They got Keanu Neal.
So they can get their Clelin Ferrell on, you know, and they got Alford, and they got all those guys defensively. Yeah. Deion Jones will be healthy, et cetera. So just go ahead and add to that defense, Atlanta, at pick 14. But, I mean, I still have zero confidence about not getting sniped at 50. They're going to be in the mix here.
Right, but 18 is the A topic.
No, yeah, I know.
18's the one. 50 is the 1A because, I mean, we may need 18 and 50 to start. Now, there were reports all over the place yesterday that your guy from Tennessee, Josh Klein, the former Patriot, in town yesterday.
Right.
Meaning he probably was dining in Minneapolis with the Gucci's last night.
Sure.
And he might be at the Second to None facility, Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center today. Now, I am not an elite Josh Klein mind. Knew his name. Couldn't pick him out of a two-person offensive lineman lineup standing next to Donald Penn. Have absolutely no idea. But if you just read up on him with the X amount of starts, the equity, where he's been, where he is, where he's going, cool. I mean, if they close on Josh Klein, he has an opportunity to compete as a starter at a guard spot, and he's a veteran. But 18 still is one, and 50 is 1A. And 9 to noon is absolutely settling into O-line, O-line, something else, then O-line again. Or O-L, 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 something else, depending on the receiver. I mean, am I ever going to get to this? I wrote it from the sinkhole on Sunday.
Yes.
Was excited, and I emailed it to you. You put production together with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have found, like Anthony Miller last year from Memphis, and I have two more that I will unveil. So I got to jump on this definitely next week. You have the 4-3 guy, Metcalf. You got the Ohio State guy, Paris, whatever. I mean, there are some relatively ballyhooed receivers in rounds one or two. 9 to noon has gone scratching below the surface.
Yes.
To find three, including one from a small or a nondescript football school, I absolutely want the Vikings to draft.
I even found a highlight without hip-hop music underneath, yeah, and I was really excited to play it.
And it probably wasn't hard when said individual goes for like 260 and two. Ooh. Against a major SEC school.
Yeah, he is an absolute badass.
You think he's not?
Mid-round gems.
Probably we'll bring him up next week, maybe Friday with Charge. But we got out of this alive. In fact, I'm more encouraged snooping the Falcons than I was the Giants.
Yep.
Because Shurmur and the Giants, I believe, because they go 6-17.
Yeah.
These guys go 14 and 40 whatever.
45, something like that.
Thank you. 14 and 45. Yeah, 14 and 45. And we're 18 and 50. So, Giants, I got to bet defense at 6.
Yeah.
Maybe quarterback, but probably defense.
At Oliver type at 6.
And then come right back with potential of offensive lineman at 17.
Yeah. So, their defense needs to get better, though. And they'll pick again early second.
Absolutely. We need Shurmur to fall in love with a quarterback at 6. And have those who say zero chance they're taking a quarterback at 6, to which my response is, all right, well, I mean, if you have 6 and 17, you can get a blue chipper at 17 defensively, for sure. You can get a fantastic player at 17. That's how deep the defensive line draft is this year.
Right on.
With Eli, where he is in his career, you know, and you being a middling team, the Giants aren't top of the draft bad. But they're also not a team that's going to pick in the high 20s. So you'll be dealing with the same thing into next year. You'll be in a weird spot. They kind of almost have to take a quarterback at 6 just to have one in the stable to cultivate it and or raise him.
Well, that's what we need Shurmur to do.
That's what we need him to do.
If you know quarterbacks, Mr. Shurmur, and you know offenses,
now, Pat,
we love Eli. Send him off white horse into sunset after 2019. That's great.
Yeah.
But at pick number 6, make the opinion.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Just like the Vikings. Who cares where they should be drafted? If you love a guy, Mr. Shurmur, go get him.
Pat, even if you don't love somebody, get a quarterback. Look what you did with Case Keenum. Oh, my God, we almost went to the Super Bowl with the undrafted kid from Houston.
Going off schedule every play.
Right. So with Dwayne Haskins, with that physical ability, like can't work with that, Pat?
Come on, Pat.
Take a quarterback at 6. Defense at 17. In closing, via the savvy mid-morning Snoopathon to assist not only the football team, but the fan base, the analyst for the Falcons Radio Network pretty much guaranteed. North Carolina State multifaceted Swiss Army knife tough guy Garrett Bradbury and or tough guy guard from Boston College Chris Lindstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one will be drafted at 14.
We dig that.
Rick, our work is done. Yours has just begun.